right, quarter number two as we roll on, and we go back to Winnipeg to start this hour. As the Avalanche get a 5-2 victory, that series is even at one game apiece. Alexander Georgiev was doing his thing last night. He made 28 saves, had some help out in front of him, and now we are starting to believe a little bit more in Alexander Georgiev. Starting for game three, that'll come Friday night, and then game four is Sunday down at Ball Arena. What did Jared Bednar make of his goaltender's performance?
I think he really kind of was able to put that early goal behind him, stay focused on what he needed to do. I give him all the credit in the world. That's not easy, and our team's in full support of what he's capable of doing and what we think he can do.
Okay, I like it.
That's good to hear. And that's something you and I have talked about, right? That, once that first one goes, you almost see it in his eyes. That, okay, only a matter of time until, you know, the floodgates start to open. And he obviously did let another goal by him. But it wasn't that panic. It wasn't that, you know, oh, no, everything is now going to trickle downhill. And what can go wrong will go wrong. And it felt like that for about 4 weeks with Alexander Georgiev.
Yeah, I mean, you give up an early one, what, 3:15 into it, mm-hmm. and then you don't give up another one until, 8:30 into the second period. I mean, that's pretty dang good. We would take that. So that's why when we talked about yesterday, like, when do you pull him? Like, how many is too many? And I couldn't give you a number.
Yeah.
Right? There's no number. It's like, what do your eyes tell you? And certainly he got things back on track, and it was much better. So it's one of those things where it's game by game, it's period by period with Georgiev right now. But that was a good step forward. He has the potential, and it was nice to see, you know, I think that's what you were nervous about. I was concerned with, you give up that early goal, you know, now all of a sudden is your confidence gone, and are you going to be able to regroup and get things going back in the right direction? Because to think you're going to go out in any of these games and get a shutout, I'm not thinking that. So you got to be able to fight through a little bit of adversity, which he was able to do. So I really like that part of it.
Now, overall, we're through two games. Alexander Georgiev has given up 9 goals on 53 shots. That's a save percentage of .830. Connor Hellebuck on the other side has given up 10 goals on 76 shots because the Avs are peppering him. And that's a save percentage of .868 for Connor Hellebuck. So it's a game that they, you know, to calm all of us down, to give themselves a real chance, you had to go and steal one in Winnipeg, and they were able to do exactly that. Did Alexander Georgiev change anything up with his daily routine? He talked about that after the win.
Yeah, a little different routine. A little less shots in the morning skate. Tried to save the energy and save the focus for the evening, I would say. And just get into the positive mindset. Like I said, the guys helped me out so much in that. Just a lot of support overall in the room for everybody.
So you can kind of tell, right? Like, he was fragile, as we just said. Support from everybody, changing up your routine, trying to do maybe a little bit less to put yourself in a better situation. And that's already weird with the goalies. Like, you know about goalies on the days, you're not supposed to talk to them, basically, on game day. No one is supposed to talk to them on the game day, and certainly not the media. So, like, they have their own little weird thing going on anyway.
What do you mean? Like, your teammate can't talk to you?
They're pretty much left alone, yeah.
You don't say anything to them?
No.
No, no talkie.
They're not even like, hey, how's it going?
Right. Hey, let's go. Can't wait for tonight, man. It's going to be a fun one.
No.
No?
That's probably what they were doing before, and it led to that performance that we saw.
Jeez.
Talk about superstition, huh?
Well, I think that's a little bit, are we sure about this? Like,
I know the media is not even allowed, really, to talk to them, but I know players also will.
Well, I understand the media. Like, I understand the media. I understand giving you your space, but, like, and I guess, you know, you have some things, like in baseball, you know, if the guy's pitching a no-hitter, you don't talk to him in the dugout. But still, like, so me talking to you 6 hours before the game, I mean, it's like, that's going to affect you during the game. Well, we got to find someone else, man. Like, come on, pal. Like, that's 6 hours ago, just because I said hi to you and I asked you how things are going. Like, come on. I mean, like, that's
amazing. You know things aren't going good. Now I'm in my head.
Right. Now I'm not going to be able to, now I'm not playing good tonight. You weren't supposed to talk to me. I mean, I think that's a little overboard there, but, you know, some of these, you know, hockey's got their unwritten rules and things like that. Obviously, baseball does too. Mm-hmm. And so, all right. I mean, if that's what it is, that's what it is. But it was good to see him go out there and do it. But he's a guy, you know, he's talking about, but he's a guy to me that, like, if he gives up two quick ones, I mean, it doesn't matter what he did. last night. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll be back where he was, you know, a week ago. So he's got to continue to do it. It's going to be a good series. I think that that's the way I look at this series. It's going to be a good series. I don't think either team's going to run away with it. And probably going to come down to game seven.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they split over the weekend.
Yeah,
with,
exactly.
With the two home games at Ball Arena. So
the one goal that was my favorite.
Yeah?
My favorite was the Miles Wood goal.
Off early. The face-off?
Off the face-off. Like, I'm just kind of like, you know, okay, face-off is coming. Go, like, wait, what? How did that happen?
Yeah.
And it was so smooth. It was so quick. Win the face-off right to Miles Wood. Boom, shot, goal. Like, you, the goalie, I mean, Hellebuyck. I mean, he was like Hellebuyck.
Hellebuyck.
Hellebuyck. He was
I like when you say Buick, though.
Yeah,
I think
no,
it's better.
It's just easier for me, too. But he it looked like he wasn't ready for it. And if you didn't see it, that was one to face-off right away. The pass goes right to, you know, the right, and that's where Miles Wood was, and he just one-timed it, bam, like that. And it was like, felt like it was 2 seconds into play, 1 second into play, and that's how quick it was. But it was such a quick shot that I think it caught everybody off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really, really cool. And the Avs needed that.
Yeah.
You know, like you're playing aggressive, you're doing some good things, and, you know, Georgiev settled down a little bit, and so you need to get on the board, and they were able to do that there. But to me, that was really cool. That was my favorite.
Yeah, that you're absolutely right about catching everybody off guard because no one was ready for it. In fact, that whole line, it's only been a couple games, but that line has been pretty solid for the Avalanche here through games one and game number two. So, Avs fans, how do you feel about it? You back feeling like they can win this series? Think that cup chances, a reality to bring Lord Stanley home is there? Tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043, or over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. You know, even when you're in the Avs locker room, you're not supposed to stand on the logo either.
Okay.
Like, not players, not media. And in fact, I've seen a player go after a media guy for standing on the logo. And it was awesome.
Like, how big is it? Like, you have to. I mean,
it's pretty big.
Like, so you can't walk on it at all?
No, the logo is lava. You can't touch it.
Right. Yeah, see, that to me, like, come on, what are we doing? It's in the locker room. Like, okay, I got to walk around.
It's on the ground.
And put something up. Like, right. Put a barricade over it or something. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
I was in my early media career when the reporter and the player were going at it, but I was kind of like,
what, the guy just accidentally walked on it and the player lost his mind?
Yep.
Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, buddy. And then what, the media member was giving it back to him?
Yeah. To the point where the PR guy had to get involved.
Oh, that is fun.
It was awesome. I was like, is this how it works? Because I love this.
This is great. Who was the media member?
I'll tell you.
Okay. it's a good win. Good win for the Avs, though. They needed to get it done. And they did. So, you know, we'll see what it looks like this weekend. Friday, Sunday, you said?
Friday, Sunday. Sunday's at 12:30.
Oh, got that early
afternoon delight.
Love it.
So, Avs fans, yeah, tell us, you panicking? You feeling good? What do you feel after the series is now tied at 1-1 and come back to the Mile High City? Tell us on the text line. Nuggets and Lakers, they're on their way to L.A. Games 3 and 4 will be out in Los Angeles. What do we expect when the Nuggets tip off as the road team? We'll tell you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
I want to talk some Nuggets with you, Stoke. Want to hear from Nuggets Nation as they are going to have a day off, obviously, and travel to L.A. But I actually like this. I like this name, too, and this is coming off the Twitch feed from Odin's Banjo. So, Stoke, you were in the NFL for 15 years. You're going to tell us you didn't have any game day superstitions? Get out of here. Ha, 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 ha. Was that the end?
I'm kind of
with Odin's Banjo on this.
Yeah. I just like to get there early. I like to get my stuff situated. You know, I'd get on the field early and do some running around and then go back in. You know, just stuff like that, but nothing like out of the ordinary where I have to wear this or wear that. Nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just my routine needed to be pretty much the
same. Like pregame meal, you don't want something different, the same every time?
Yeah, no, not
hammer a green Gatorade or something like that?
Nope, nothing.
Wow. Okay. Anything before the show? Like, you got to do something before the show to get ready?
Nope. Get coffee.
Like, dog cuss my name so you don't do it live on the radio?
I do that right before I get out of the car. How'd you know?
This morning we parked at the same time. We were just yelling. I'm like, man, he is going off. And then you weren't on the phone, so I just assumed it was me or Kevin.
It was you.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, let's talk some Nuggets. They're going to go to L.A. Games 3 and 4 will be in Los Angeles. Game 3 is tomorrow night on TNT, and it will be an 8 o'clock tip-off. I used to be mad at the 8 o'clock tip-offs. Really, really enjoy them now. Stoke, what are we expecting? I think it's a, first of all, game 3 for L.A., it's absolutely must-win for the Los Angeles Lakers. You're down 3-0, pack your bags, book your trips, it's a sweep. But you got to win game 3 first, and I don't really know where the Lakers are at. You know, if I'm a Lakers media member or a fan, I don't know how I would feel after the game they had in both games 1 and 2, and 2 specifically when you're up 20 points, you're in complete control going into the half, and you still found a way to blow the basketball game. So I don't know. From their perspective, Stoke, is it, hey, we got our hearts ripped out, and now what are we supposed to do? Or we were that close. In fact, we were supposed to win that game. It's on us. We blew it. Now we know we can hang.
Well, I think they knew they could hang in game one. So that's a tough one to bounce back from when you lose that one up by 20. And, you know, LeBron has a wide open three there with, you know, I don't know, 13, whatever, seconds left to go in the game and can't capitalize on it. And then Jamal does what he does. So I think this one's a tough one to bounce back from. Look, you got LeBron, you got AD. They've been through stuff like this before. But when you have a chance to steal one like that, and you're right. I mean, they got to win game 3. I think they got to win both. If you lose one and you're down 3-1 coming back to Denver, I just don't see how you think you can roll off 3 straight wins. So to me, if they really are thinking about trying to win this series, they got to win both of them, and I don't see that happening at all. So we'll see what they got left in the tank, or if it's just like it was last year, and it's and they're packing it in. But it's I don't think it's going to be easy. I think they're going to come out. They're going to come out ready to play ball and try to win the next two. I think they're a little bit different than they were last year. Mm-hmm. A little bit better team this year. So, but certainly it's going to be it's a game that they got to win.
Yeah, I agree with you. And they are going to get Christian Wood back that we talked about. I wondered what Christian Wood brought to the table, and I went back and looked at his 7.1 points a game and 5.6 like, rebounds.
You're acting like Shaq's return or something. Yeah. Like Christian, okay. I mean.
He's not big enough to guard Nagola.
No.
So that's not even an option.
No. I mean, if they put him and then send another person over to double right away, I mean, that's their only chance. So I think it's going to be more AD again. I don't think Christian Wood is the answer.
We didn't talk about that either, but AD did get in a little foul trouble.
He did.
And in fact, I thought that it was the first quarter, 4 minutes maybe in. There was a foul underneath, and it's smart. This is what all NBA players do. It was Rui raised his hand.
Yeah.
That was on Anthony Davis. So they actually saved him from some early foul trouble there, but that happens from time to time.
And I think, you know, like if he does, because that's what your concern was, putting him on Jokic, that if he does start getting in foul trouble, then you just take him off of him, right? But I think early, that's probably what you're going to see from the Lakers and sending double teams his way and trying to make other guys make shots. And certainly, I mean, Michael Porter Jr., that was it, man. And that play that, I don't, what was Jokic doing on that play, the late one? Like, what he was doing, that he was trying to get the foul call.
Yeah, he was.
Right?
Yeah.
And we've talked about that multiple times, him doing that. And I don't know, like, in that moment, if that's, like, the right thing to do, you know, with that much time left. Don't even play with fire there. Yeah. But Michael Porter Jr.'s shot was obviously all world and had the guy coming from behind him and the side of him a little bit with the hand there, still able to knock it down because it looked like the game was slipping away. But how about Aaron Gordon? Getting that, I don't know, pass/shot/flop from Jokic, being able to get that before it goes out of bounds and saving that.
With someone all up on him, too. Pressure all over him.
Exactly. Just that extra effort and just doing the little things. That's what he provides, you know, game in and game out, Aaron Gordon. So, but that was all world.
Yes, it was. Something else about this Nuggets team, and it's a conversation we've had a ton. Nuggets fans have talked about it a lot, and the bench was a big question rolling into the postseason. How are they going to use the bench? How deep would Malone go? We've seen him throw DeAndre out there and then just Justin Holiday with the other three and Reggie, Christian, and Peyton that we knew would be involved. But how about this number, Stoke? The Nuggets are only -2 in the 15 total minutes through two games that Nikola Jokic has not been on the floor. Now I when I saw that stat, I went, well, they didn't really pass the eye test for me on the offensive end. But defensively, they were doing enough where they weren't getting shredded and providing the energy. And I think maybe that's in the most simplest of forms. That's all you need out of these three or four guys off the bench. Don't get your teeth kicked in on the defensive side and provide a little bit of energy, and especially at home, so that when the Nuggets and the starters do start to check back in, the fans are there. That juice is there. That little extra bit of energy is there. So that's, I'm kind of looking at the bench when I read that number of going, all right, of course we want you to score. And Jamal staggering with them gives that possibility. But play your dang tails off on the defensive end. Get some energy up and down with some quick transition buckets. And then sit down. That's all you need out of those guys.
Come on. We need more.
More?
More. A little bit more.
These guys are
going to
play 40 minutes, the starters.
I got it, but come on. We can't give them a free pass. Like, okay, you can go 0 for 2, 0 for 1, 0 for 3, 0 for 3 from three-point land, and that's okay. No, heck no.
Well, dude, it's Christian Brown, Peyton Watson, and Reggie Jackson.
And Holiday.
Yeah, he might be the best shooter of the group.
Right, and he was 0 for 1 and tied for the most minutes. So, like, I get it. But then guess what? Don't shoot threes in.
Okay.
Just don't shoot them then. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not going to be able to make them, and I'm not expecting you to go 3 for 4, 4 for 5 from three-point land, but at the same time, man, come on. Like, Peyton Watson was great in game one. He knocked down a couple early ones. That's fine. But, man, we can't just give them a pass offensively because you're going to need these guys moving forward. Like, if it's Minnesota next round, like, you're going to need these guys to be better. And you're right. You're staggering with the bench. I really don't care about these plus minuses. I don't read a lot into that. I'm looking at your stat sheet. Mm-hmm. Play great defense. And Christian Brown had 10 points. You know, he was getting to the rim, making some buckets. Yeah. But he was 0 for 3 from three-point land. He's got to be better shooting the ball. So, and then he missed both of his free throws. None of those guys got to the free throw line but Christian Brown. Two free throws, 0 for 2. Certainly not good enough. The whole team in general has got to shoot better from three-point land there. Michael Porter Jr. was really, Jokic was 2 for 4. Michael Porter Jr. was 6 for 10. Everybody else was 0 for. Those were the only guys that made a 3, by the way.
That's insane.
Jokic and Porter Jr. Aaron Gordon, 0 for 2. Jamal, 0 for 5. Caldwell Pope, 0 for 4. Like, Jamal and Caldwell Pope can't go 0 for.
No.
It's amazing they won that basketball game.
Yeah,
amazing.
Look, Jamal's the hero, but he played a bad game.
Yeah.
He was great in the fourth quarter, but it was a bad game. You can't have that out of him moving forward.
You're giving out passes again.
I just know what I need from him.
I can't believe you. But you know what? Like, I'm with you, but at a certain point, we need a little, just a little from behind the arc in scoring-wise, whether it's three-pointers or just scoring a little bit.
Look, Stoke, I would love for the Denver Nuggets bench to provide scoring. Sometimes it's just not in the cards. I'd love for Kevin Kisner to be dating Carrie Underwood.
No.
Sometimes it's just not in the cards.
I mean, just he can't even speak right now. Just like out of nowhere.
I said I'd love it for him.
I know. It didn't sound like, you know, that was, you're giving him a compliment, though.
Well, I meant well.
Yeah.
I meant well.
That's okay. Definitely a compliment.
There you go. Yeah, see? Okay. It's not over
That's
yet,
That's the way
Kev.
You take it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never give up on your dreams, Kev.
Exactly.
Never.
Exactly.
Never, Stoke. Let me tell you about the Fan Flyaway. You don't have to give up on a dream of being a guest at a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship. We can get you there with our latest Fan Flyaway. You win, you're going to get 2 tickets to a game, round trip airfare for you and a guest to the destination from here in Denver. We'll put you up in a hotel for 2 nights, give you $500 to spend while you're there, but you can't win if you don't register. You register at denversports.com/thefanflyaway. While you're there, claim your special offer from Sport Clips, and if you've already registered in the past, you don't have to re-register. When you register this time, you're taken care of for all future Fan Flyaway contests. It's the Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right,
right now. And it's where we find our guy JT the Brick. We're doing a little bit of draft preparation. Of course, the Denver Broncos have the 12th overall pick, the Raiders at 13 right behind them. And they're kind of the two teams waiting, wondering what's going to happen with quarterbacks that do fall. JT, first off, thanks for making the time. How you doing today?
Thanks, guys. Happy draft tomorrow. Ready to go out here in Vegas for sure.
Yeah, we're fired up for it. Broncos certainly need a quarterback. We're going to ask you about some of that. But let's start with the Raiders. They are at 13 there, and there's been some rumors, reports, a couple of things. They like Michael Penix Jr., but also learning that they have made the phone calls to see what it would take to move up. What are you hearing? What are you thinking the Raiders do with their first pick?
Well, it's obviously been Jaden Daniels out here forever with his connection to Antonio Pierce. He'd be the fit. I mean, that would be the ultimate pick, but the problem is it's too expensive to go get him. It would be a minimum. You have to trade the 13 to get up to 2, and then I think 3 first-round picks at a minimum, 3 first-round picks. And we got a brand-new GM in Tom Telesco, and I don't know if he wants to come in and make that statement that early, and then maybe have to give up a player or a third-rounder. It costs a lot. So if the Raiders could stay at 13 and take the best right tackle available, like Fuaga out of Oregon State, or the big tight ends, J.C. Latham, if they can get a bookend right tackle opposite Colt Miller, that's, I think, the biggest priority. They also need a corner, but looming is Michael Penix Jr., and I think a lot of people like him later in the first round, but as you guys know, he won't be available late in the first round, so if the Broncos don't take him at 12, I think a lot of people are going to be calling for Michael Penix Jr. to play in Las Vegas.
Wow. JT the Brick joined us. Appreciate it, JT. Looking at Antonio Pierce, what's the feeling over there in Vegas about the first-time head coach?
Well, he earned it. I mean, I don't think he gets the job if he doesn't win the games down the stretch, which included the sweep of the Broncos, the all-time scoring record against the Chargers, 63 points, and then the big one, beating Kansas City on Christmas Day, Kansas City's last loss as they went on to win the Super Bowl. So that secured Antonio Pierce's position here. He's loved throughout the building. You can imagine as a former player and what players think of him. He's got a really good player in Christian Wilkins who just came in. Now that Chris Jones is probably the best defensive tackle and Aaron Donald's retired. So you got Max Crosby on this defensive line, which is really emerging. But, you know, Antonio Pierce is a defensive-minded head coach. Patrick Graham is a defensive-minded defensive coordinator who I think is going to be a head coach by this time next year. And the Raiders have Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And if they had to play a game on Sunday, guys, I think they can win with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. But going up against Mahomes and Justin Herbert in this AFC West, it's hard to look long term unless you have a player such as Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels to lead your franchise, and that's why I think that's the biggest need for the Raiders.
Talking to JT the Brick on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. JT, you just mentioned it there. Is Gardner competing for the starting job? How does it work out with Aiden, with Gardner, and possibly a quarterback coming out of the 2024 draft?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, Aiden O'Connell has a lot to do with Antonio Pierce being here. So Antonio Pierce will speak for that as we get to the preseason. But no matter if the Raiders get a quarterback or not, assuming they don't get Jaden Daniels, and if let's just say they got Michael Penix, he won't play. They're going to let Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell fight it out. And one of those two guys are going to start. So I think Aiden O'Connell deserves to be the leader in the clubhouse because he was the starter last year. But Gardner Minshew can play. And he's won a lot of games. And I'm not comparing him to anybody else, but we had a journeyman by the name of Rich Gannon who came in at a much later age than Gardner Minshew is now and ended up playing in 2 AFC championship games and a Super Bowl. And if the Raiders had to play a game this Sunday with Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, that wouldn't kill him. But the Raiders need to button up this offensive line, guys, as you know. If they can lock in this offensive line, because we don't have Josh Jacobs anymore. Mm-hmm. And Josh Jacobs is a hell of a player. We'll go with Zamir White, who's a very good player out of Georgia. And Madison, who we just brought in as the backup from Minnesota. But Luke Getsy's the new offensive coordinator. And all indications are he wants to run the ball, road grade, control the clock. And then this Raider defense, as you've seen in Denver, has really played well over the last couple of years. And adding Wilkins, and if they get another corner in this draft, there aren't many holes left on the Raider defense, maybe just one or two, and they should be able to fill those holes in the draft.
JT the Brick join us. JT, bring me behind the curtains a little bit there. And because when y'all hired Josh McDaniels, I was with him here with the Broncos, and it was a disaster. We all knew it was a disaster, yeah. And it ended quickly, and it ended awful. I thought he sounded like he learned his lesson and that he was going to be much improved as a head coach. But, man, you see those guys celebrating in the locker room after he was gone when they were winning, and just the talk, it just seemed like it was the same old Josh McDaniels. What happened there?
Well, that's a very deep question because Josh McDaniels did change a bit. He knew it. He said it at his press conference from what happened in Denver. If he didn't change, he wouldn't have got the job. And he came in here, and he's a taskmaster. He worked these guys hard. You know, this is a guy that's very accountable at a practice. And before that, the same with John Gruden. You play for Gruden or Josh McDaniels or anybody, you're going to have to work your ass off every practice, every game, and it was hard. And the big mistake for the Raiders that I didn't think would happen, and it did, was they got Jimmy Garoppolo, who won 4 playoff games, and Jimmy G is a good player. That was a good move with all the potential other quarterbacks who were available, who weren't available in the draft. Jimmy got hurt. It was over. Guys, it was over. Once Jimmy went down, and Aiden O'Connell had to come in, and before that, Brian Hoyer. Josh McDaniels, if he didn't lose in Chicago, the Raiders didn't lose in Chicago, he wouldn't have been fired. Josh McDaniels would have beat the Jets. I think he would have beat the Giants, probably Denver down the stretch. I think he would still be here. But obviously, Antonio Pierce is a completely different style coach. He's a former player, a former Super Bowl champ. He's a player's coach, and it was night and day. And Josh McDaniels, I give Mark Davis credit. He listened to the players. He saw this. He could have easily stuck with Josh McDaniels another full season. But he said it wasn't going to work, and he made the move with the GM and the head coach. Now we got a new regime again. And I've been in Vegas, you know, this is my 26 years with the Raiders. All right, this is my 15th head coach in 26 years.
Wow.
I've seen them all, from Art Shell to Jack Del Rio to Lane Kiffin to Dennis Allen, all good men who were supposed to come in here and win games. And when you don't win here in Oakland or Las Vegas, you're out. Now Antonio Pierce has got a lot of positive momentum brewing with this roster, and he's going to have to go win games.
All right, JT, and finally you gave us some options, some ideas. Let's put you officially on the clock. What do you think the Raiders do with that 13?
I think they're going to take the tackle out of Oregon State, Fuaga, at 13. I think that when push comes to shove, they're going to take a big swing for Jaden Daniels. If they get Jaden Daniels, I'm going to leave the draft where I'm anchoring. I'm going to go pick him up at the airport, and we'll have Jaden Daniels as the quarterback. If not, get the right tackle. Get the right tackle, secure the offensive line, and then go in a different direction in those last couple of rounds. Remember, guys, we've won 8 in a row against Denver.
Oh,
I'm talking about
JT.
You know,
watch your mouth, JT. Watch
eight
your mouth.
In a row against
watch
the
your
Broncos
mouth. I'm
going to
fly
Sean
down there in
Payton's
Vegas
with this roster.
I'm tired
you know
of
what
it.
They're talking about out here. We don't have to sweep the Broncos this year. We have to sweep the Broncos. It's the only chance we have to make the playoffs is we got to clip you for 2 more and get to 10 in a row.
JT, it's over this year. I'm telling you. It's not happening. We're breaking that streak this year.
Oh, well, the way gracious. Sean's playing roulette with this roster and Russ and Jerry Jeudy, I can tell you on behalf of the voice of the Raider Nation, we thank Sean Payton for what he's doing out there in the Mile High. Keep it going, Sean, for at least another year.
I'm sick
JT,
to my stomach.
You're the best, man.
Hey,
JT.
Check in with this year.
So
JT the Brick right there.
Unbelievable. This is the crap we have to deal
yeah,
with, right?
That's right.
Like, you know, like that stuff right there. JT's great, obviously.
He's the best.
But, man, we got to hear it. Like, okay, if it's the Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
I get it. They're world champions.
Sure.
The Raiders are the Raiders. When's the last time they'd won anything, right?
Well,
and so,
the last 8 times they played the Broncos.
Exactly. And this is the stuff we got to deal with because of that.
Oh, it ends this year. You're right. It ends this year. Shout out JT the Brick. Thanks for coming on the show. All right, we'll react to a few things JT had to said. Do want to continue talking about Michael Penix Jr. specifically and perhaps Denver being a sleeper team. Maybe it's not just the Raiders that have their eye on Michael Penix Jr. That conversation is coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
quarterback at 12. Tomorrow's draft. Yeah, that's right. So we just had the conversation with JT the Brick. Always fun outside of the Raiders smack talk part of it, but that's still kind of fun. He has him picking a tackle. All the rumors and reports that Michael Penix Jr. Is linked to Las Vegas. And, of course, he did tell us they have their eye set on Jaden Daniels. I read last night, Stoke, on CBS Sports that Washington and Las Vegas had already had conversations and that Washington was telling Las Vegas, stop. We're not going to give you the picks that you're looking for and certainly not to go get Jaden Daniels, who they may have their eye set on.
Yeah, look, they're not trading. Washington's not trading a second pick, people. I mean, come on. You can't give them enough to trade that pick.
They said no to 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, why would you take 3 first-round picks? You got to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, you're picking second. So unless you hate all those quarterbacks, you're taking a quarterback. I mean, it's Dan Quinn's first year there, general manager's first year there. I mean, you can't give them enough to take that pick unless they don't like any of those guys, and I find that hard to believe. So I don't see Washington moving at all. There's just nothing you can give them.
The other question I wanted to ask and have a conversation about with Michael Penix Jr. is kind of something we learned from James Palmer yesterday, who joined us on the show and, of course, is going to be a part of our draft coverage over at Dave & Buster's tomorrow night. Could Denver still be in play for Michael Penix Jr.?
Sure. Why not?
I mean, it's kind of like Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix, right? That seems like the Broncos and the Raiders and maybe teams like the Giants or, you know, Minnesota, depending on how things shake up, that'll be left for them to pick from. But yeah, it was kind of surprising to me yesterday that the Palmer kind of gave us that the Broncos could be in on that. In fact, let's hear James tell us that insight. Maybe.
I think Denver is one of the teams that's interested in Penix. At least that's kind of my opinion reading the tea leaves, and that's the opinion of some people in the other buildings. Because that's kind of what you do, right? You call around, you ask, you see, what do you think? You think Denver like Penix? Yeah, I actually really think they're part of the group. But a lot of people I talk to still think the Raiders are part of that group as well, who are sitting right behind him in the draft. And I think the Vikings could probably be successful with Kevin O'Connell and the way that offense is set up and the situation he's walking in. They'd be successful with J.J. McCarthy. They'd probably be successful with Penix. I think they could land a couple of guys. I think Denver's best case scenario is if they love Penix and they can get him at 12, because I don't think they can move up. I just think it's going to be really difficult. But if they can move back and either get him or Bo Nix and moving back, that's going to be, you know, maybe another scenario that happens. The problem is a lot of people think Bo Nix definitely should go in the second round, and they don't have a second round pick.
All right, so he's heard that the Broncos are part of the group, and he calls it a group that could be interested in Michael Penix Jr. there. That stood out to me because there's not a lot of love for Michael Penix Jr., really. He's always been the last of the top 6 quarterbacks, but it seems like James is hearing otherwise.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you don't know what to believe and what not to believe, right, with the draft day rumors and the, you know, we were hearing, oh, man, they love J.J. McCarthy a month ago. And then you haven't heard a lot about Penix Jr. and the Broncos, and there could be a reason, mm-hmm. right? Did we hear about the Russell Wilson trade? Nope, not until it happened. So it was like Aaron Rodgers, and then it was like, nope, boom, Russell Wilson. So it's one of those things where, all right, well, you're not hearing anything here, so, man, that might be their guy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that shakes out Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. I don't know if they have the ammunition to move up to get a J.J. McCarthy. So it might be one of those two. And will it be? Could it be where they're sitting at 12 and it's not Bo Nix, it's Michael Penix Jr.? I could see that happening, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to let out who you love and then all of a sudden the Raiders are like, well, they love Michael Penix mm-hmm. Jr., and then the Raiders try to jump the Broncos. So when you don't hear stuff about a quarterback, like we've heard stuff about every quarterback. Well, not every quarterback, but we've heard about Drake May. We've heard it about J.J. McCarthy, and we've heard it about Bo Nix mm-hmm. being linked to the Broncos and Sean Payton. We haven't heard a lot about Michael Penix Jr. That makes you say, huh?
Yeah.
Why?
And the Bo Nix stuff, like it's ramping up here over the last 24 or 48 hours, and will continue to do so. In fact, Albert Breer has the latest of it. He reported yesterday that the Broncos quietly did a lot of work on Oregon quarterback Bo Nix. Hour-long Zoom meeting with him in March, and then sent a Sean Payton-led team to Eugene to go work with him, 11 days later. Up there in his home base. So that's what caught my eye, too. You and I are the same thing, or I guess my ear in this case. Of we're learning more now about all these, you know, indications that the Broncos and Bo Nix are just lined up with one another, and it's never that simple.
Right. So you kind of ask yourself why. You know, why? Are they really interested in him? Are they doing their homework? Which is good. I want them to do their homework. And then I asked the question, did they do this with Michael Penix Jr.? Did they do all this stuff with him?
And we just don't know about it?
And we don't know about it? Or did they not do anything with him? Well, what does that tell me? Maybe they know enough about him. Maybe they love him. We don't need to do all that other stuff. We know enough about him. So we don't want anyone to think that we like him at all. We're going to try to keep that as low-key as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the case where we don't like that guy. It's hard to figure these teams out. You don't know if they're lying, they're telling you the truth. Well, why are they showing a lot of interest? Why are they showing no interest? You know, it's like, because you always have guys, and the Broncos have had them. I think Bradley Chubb was one of the guys, like, oh, I didn't even talk to the Broncos before they drafted them, right?
You're right.
And so some guys you don't have to do extra homework on, some guys you do, and you just never know the true feelings of a team and why they're operating the way they're operating before the draft. So this could be a case where they really do like Bo Nix. This could be a case where they're trying to, hey, yeah, we're going out there to Oregon, and we had an hour Zoom with them. Just everybody notice this, and then boom, they draft Michael Penix Jr.
Mm-hmm. Broncos country, what do you think? Is there a real feelings for you for Michael Penix Jr. as a future Broncos quarterback, or have you hitched your wagon to Bo Nix because that's what it's felt like over the last month? Tell us at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Watch the show over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom, and hang out there in the chat room. And if you're looking for somewhere to watch the draft party, we mentioned it with James Palmer because he is a part of this party. Dave and Buster's in Denver. That's where we're hanging for the draft. Starting at 4 o'clock with Zach Bye, hosting a roundtable with Mark Schlaer, with Brandon Stokely, Philip Lindsay. Then at 6, all the way through the draft, you are going to get NFL insider James Palmer. You're going to get Cecil Lammy and John Davis to take you right through the draft. That's this Thursday, 4 p.m. at Dave and Buster's down in Denver. All right, when we get back, the Avs, they've evened up their series 1-1. What does it mean for Georgie moving forward now that he played well? And the Nuggets are off until Thursday, but we'll discuss what they need out of Jamal Murray and the bench to steal a game in L.A. That's coming at you next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.